Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, settle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Let it go, according to plan. Pelicans play 82 regular season games. In the play-in, they go again. Third straight year, a little different situation, I think. Nonetheless, they are there. Last night, yesterday afternoon, they had a chance. All they had to do was beat you-know-who, the Lakers. And they could move on. But they could not get the job done as the Lakers led from start to finish. As we, had a lot to kind of get into and talk about here as well. Buddy, I believe you said you have Will. Is that Will Guillory? Or just Will? Nice. What's up, Will? How are you today, sir?
It's Will Guillory checking in, man. How you doing?
Thank you, man. I love it. Practice just ended, and we're getting into it as we start here. Hour number two brought to you by Chris's Paving. I saw you after the game yesterday, and I kind of want to start there. Just like the feeling, man. I saw you. We were doing TV hits separately, but it felt like a playoff game. It seemed like a playoff game. Smelled like a playoff game. It didn't turn out to be a playoff game. Just kind of touch on the attitude and the mood that you felt in that arena yesterday.
It felt like a playoff game for the Lakers. I mean, they had the approach. They had the force. They had the focus. And I think the Pels were lacking in all three of those areas. I think you saw, you know, they just kind of got pushed around a lot of that game. And I think you saw a whole bunch of times where they were just, like, leaving shooters open on the perimeter. They were letting Rui Hachimura cut baseline for, like, three different dunks. It just didn't seem like they were locked in for whatever reason. And I think, unfortunately, that's something that we've seen a lot this season where the Pels go on the road. They look incredible. They get some huge wins, and they come home, and it's kind of a letdown just for whatever reason. That's been one of their real, you know, weaknesses this year. So, yeah, I think, you know, it was kind of a wake-up call for them to see the Lakers come in and push them around the way they did yesterday. And I think they're going to be a little more locked in going into the playing game. Yeah. But no doubt it was a huge disappointment considering the anticipation going into that game.
I brought up three games in 4 days for the Pels, the two games in 5 days for the Lakers with their very short 45-minute up-and-down flight from Memphis. They got to hang out, you know, get some crawfish bread and chill on the riverfront and enjoy a beautiful Saturday at French Quarter Fest. And you did the talk to the hand. You didn't want to hear it when I brought that up yesterday.
Yeah, man, I just think, you know, at this time of the year, man, you got to throw the excuses out. Of course, there was some circumstances the Pels were dealing with. They had some issues with their flight. They got in late the night before the game. You know, of course, the early tip, so there wasn't a shoot-around for them to go through. That was, you know, probably something that D.I. was struggling with, not having a shoot-around to go through that morning to kind of get himself warmed up. But this time of the season, man, you got to lock in. There's no excuse just to not be, you know, locked in on simple stuff like just leaving shooters open or understanding, you know, how the Lakers want to attack you in offensive sets. But, yeah, I think, you know, the Pels has got to be better, straight up. That's what I told you last night. I think Zion's got to be better. TJ's got to be better. B.I.'s got to be a little bit more locked in. Now that he's got a game under his belt. That, right. That's just this point in the season where the excuses, you got to throw them out the window and you got to play ball.
Along those lines, speaking with Will Guillory, Athletic, covers the NBA, the Pels, and the Heat here as well. I think one of the things that, I guess, if I have to say something that just continues to disappoint me is, I don't know if I want to hear a game 82, the phrases, sense of urgency, you know, being not physical. I mean, like, dude, we all knew what that game was going to be like. So, because you said it, be better there. And I think it was a top-to-bottom failure yesterday. The game plan, I brought that up to you as well yesterday, that you saw that they had. It just, it felt like from top to bottom, preparedness, game plan, effort and energy. But what? Let's just address that. Why do you feel this year, one of the themes we'll talk about at the end of the season, the sense of urgency thing, does that come to the makeup of this roster, as in, do you have the right type of players for that? Because I don't. It's easy to say it's coach. Coach Green is constantly saying it, and it's not just him, though, Will, which is why I'm bringing up this question to you. Zion has brought it up. We didn't match the physicality. We don't have the sense of urgency. He's shown it the last month. So it's it's certain players. I don't know who. He's never named them. So I kind of lean to maybe it's the makeup of this roster. We know it's not Jose.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. I think Willie has to be better. I think the leaders in the locker room got to be, you know, more, you know, consistent with their message. I think, you know, a part of it is just youth. You know, guys just not being there, so not, you know, really grasping when those moments arrive. I think what we talked about a lot with LeBron, especially during the in-season tournament, his ability to understand when the moment's there and to seize it. You saw that last night. He was the most locked-in guy on the court because he knows what those environments are like and how you need to play and how you need to send a message early. And he did it again, you know, in that game yesterday. So but that's part of it. But I think, again, the excuses got to go out the window. Guys just got to be better. They got to understand what the stakes are. And I think, you know, of course, part of it is you know, your main guys have to continue to grow in their leadership. That's what we've talked about with Zion, B.I., them learning how to step into that role, how to use their voice, how to be able to get the most out of their guys. So they're still learning, especially Zion. He hasn't played in these environments before. Right. But I think a lot of time experience is the best teacher. We talk about that a lot with the in-season tournament, how Zion's been much different ever since going through that experience. And I think that experience last night is going to be one he's going to have to learn from.
What do you make of the night and day difference at times, home and road, with this team this year?
Oh, man. If I had the answer, guys, I promise you, man, I'll be in a much better position than I'm in right now. It's one of the craziest things I've seen, just how good. Because a lot of times with younger teams, we talk about you play at home, you got the juice from the crowd, the role players are into it, you play a lot better. But it's rare to see a young team be as good as they've been on the road and then just not being able to figure it out at home. I mean, the crowds have been good at Smoothie King Center. You felt the environment last night walking in. I thought it was going to be a crazy night with the way they were cheering for B.I. and the way, you know, they were looking forward to booing Anthony Davis. I thought that crowd was going to be incredible, and it just kind of fell apart on them. So, yeah, I just think they got to figure some stuff out and just kind of – I think it's less about the home road. It's just about the lack of consistency overall. I think that's the problem this team needs to figure out.
Right.
I wrote this morning. It's not about how good they can be. It's how long they can sustain it. I think that's the biggest question for this team.
That's a good point to put it. Look, I understand, and I think you understand it too as well. There's a lot of the fan base, and we've gotten most of the calls today, play-in. That name that's attached to it, or, you know, the labels attached to this team doing it. I know it's the third straight season. I do feel it's a bit different. Like, I do think the West is harder. And just 2 weeks ago, they were in fourth. So, I mean, yesterday you had, for the first time ever, final game of the regular season where three teams were tied for first. So, I mean, there were a lot of firsts this year, and I do think the West is hard. But you understand that, though, right? How some people and a lot of the fan base goes, oh, you're playing team again. You're just not good enough. Do you feel there's a difference, though?
I mean, yeah, they won 49 games. I mean, you know, they won yesterday. It's the second 50-win season in the history of the franchise. I mean, I think this is, it kind of drives me crazy when people get to talking about how this season's a failure and playing the same old team. I mean, this is one of the most successful seasons they've ever had in New Orleans. I mean, Zion has been great since the All-Star break. You know, him and Brandon Ingram have developed a great chemistry. C.J. McCollum is shooting the freaking lights out, has the most three-pointers in the history of the franchise for one season. So I think they've shown a ton of progress this season. Of course, there have been a lot of disappointment, a lot of blown leads, a lot of games they should have won. But I think when you win 49 games as a team and you get Brandon Ingram and Zion playing as much as they have this season, it's a huge success. And I think the real, you know, concern is just that the West is great, man. The West is really, really tough. For you to win 49 games and be a seventh seed, it tells you about what the challenge is like in the West. And, you know, the worst part about it is it's not going to get any easier, right? Wemby's going to keep getting better. Ja Morant's going to be back with Memphis.
Yep.
Houston's going to keep growing. So it's not like this thing is going to get any easier. So the challenge is going to be great in the West. But I don't think you can erase what these guys have achieved this year and winning the most road games in franchise history, doing all that they've done. I think it's been a massive success. But I do think, of course, they got a lot of room to grow. They got some games that they need to win that they should have won this year. But I think they made some serious leaps this year, and I think they should definitely be happy about where they are now compared to where they were last year.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I keep saying that too, and Jeff just called me and said I'm getting paid by the Pels, which I am. But I really feel that way.
Well, legitimate, I promise I'm not.
No, like I said, believe me, nobody wants this team to win more games than my wife and kid who want a summer vacation. Believe me, I need it. All right, so let's move to tomorrow. Because tomorrow is here, and that's the one thing. We have plenty of time to go into what could have been and what needs to happen and what needs to change. This is something I brought up to JD and Todd yesterday We hadn't even gone off the air yet. We're in the commercial break. I'm like, you know, it's starting already. There are a lot of people who are saying the Lakers should lose tomorrow on Tuesday and go home, rest up 2 days, face the winner of the Kings and Warriors, and then take on the Thunder. Easier maybe perhaps for them because they're, their last eight against Denver. Listen to Mike Greenberg this morning.
I'm going to say something in duck because I know that it is controversial, and I know that it flies in the face of absolutely everything that the spirit of competition was born to create, and you just said, Herman Edwards, you play to win the game. The Lakers should not play tomorrow night. They should not play LeBron. They should not play AD. They do not want to be the 7th seed. You want to be the 8. I'm taking my chances in a one and done at home against either Sacramento or Golden State and go in against the very young OKC Thunder in round 1 instead of going into the buzzsaw that is Denver. I think it is worth the risk.
Which, by the way, that awaits the winner of tomorrow's game, the Nuggets. What do you say to that, man? You've heard that, right? I mean, like, so many people are saying that.
Yeah, I, for one, am pretty shocked to hear somebody on a sports debate show saying something ridiculous. But I think, man, there's too much that can go wrong. I mean, we literally saw last night Anthony Davis leaving the fourth quarter with a back injury. Like, that stuff happens. To be like, we're going to throw our whole season on one game, I think it's just insane. Of course you go out and try to win. You try to push yourself in the field. At the end of the day, the Lakers have championship aspirations. So if you're going to win a championship, you got to go through the Nuggets at some point. If anything, catching them in the first round is much better than catching them in the conference finals, which is what I would say. But yeah, I think it's insanity, man. You got to go out and try to win games. I think when you stuff to try to be cute, it always come back to bite you. And we're talking about Anthony Davis and LeBron James. These dudes get hurt. It happens. And if you do this and you throw that game and Anthony Davis gets hurt in the first quarter, you look like a bunch of idiots and you're going on vacation. So I think it sounds cool when you're sitting at a desk in an office in you know, Connecticut to say that type of stuff. But when you're in the trenches with these teams, you know how small the margins are. And you got to go out and win every chance you can.
Well, for starters, I haven't even got to the two sound bites. Anthony Davis in the locker room said there's no doubt he will be available. And LeBron said he feels the best he's ever felt at this point in the season in the last couple of years. So you're going to see both of them tomorrow. So, Will, you just went to practice. What was the message from Coach Green?
I'm actually at practice now. Oh. We haven't gone in yet. So, yeah, I haven't talked to Coach Green yet, okay, so I'll let you know. I'll shoot you a text afterwards.
He told it, I'll let you go. I thought you were done, my bad. Sorry. Thank you, Will. Appreciate the phone call, man. Thank you for the time, sir.
All right, man, guys. You have a good one.
Yeah, for sure. There is Will Guillory. Awesome. Brother Martin grad and covers the Pelicans, the NBA, Miami Heat, everything for The Athletic. We'll give a follow. You already do. You should. Quick break. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 800-998-1003. Hour 2 is brought to you by Chris's Paving, chrispavings.com. Driveways, parking lots, overlays, locally owned and operated. Your asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the New Orleans and Bayou regions. Paving it all? Give them a call, 985-960-2131. Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
It's Ram Truck Month at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Rams, long-lasting new pickups, or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Whether you need a truck for work or home life, the Ram will do its job. Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
It's Gus Kattengill with the Sports Hangover. Join us for Thursdays with the crew of Katie's. Every Thursday, we'll be live at a member of the Katie's family of restaurants from 12 to 3. Whether it's Katie's on Iberville, Francesca's Deli on Harrison, or Bienview on Hickory. Enjoy lively sports banter with delicious eats. Join us as we talk about the latest from our local teams. You'll likely hear me argue with Scott Craig about his St. Louis Cardinals and my Chicago Cubs. Good thing he's a Brother Martin grad. Thursdays from 12 to 3 is the Sports Hangover with the crew of Katie's on ESPN New Orleans.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. The Rude Man Can Hotline. Love to hear you. So, as we said, the playoffs are set. And the Pels do play tomorrow, 6:30 against the Lakers. After that, on TNT, doubleheader, Warriors and the Kings. Golden State right now, 2.5-point favorites. Maybe perhaps because of what Mike Greenberg had to say. Why others feel that. The Pels are 1.5-point favorites going into the game tomorrow. To say. The Wednesday setup looks like this. Eastern Conference got the Heat and the 76ers, the spread. Philly, 4.5-point favorites there. That's the 7-8 matchup. Just like the Pels, the loser will play the winner of the Hawks and Bulls on Friday. Now, that has a 3.5-point spread. Chicago, the favorite there. So whoever wins between the Heat and 76ers, congratulations. You take on the Knicks, who got the second seed yesterday. The Hawks and Bulls will play the top-seeded Boston Celtics if they eventually wind up moving on. Hawks and Bulls got a win to play the loser of the Heat and 76ers, and then that game on Friday will be about the right to challenge Boston. Those games Friday, by the way, the Eastern Conference 8-seeded game will be on ESPN, and that will be the early game. The Western Conference 8-seed game will be on TNT, and that will be the second game. So, if you don't win tomorrow, Pelicans will host Kings or Warriors Friday in the late game on TNT. That's where you are. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime in. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Leo Haggerty will give us his thoughts on the NBA here as well. And his thoughts on the Masters. It's crazy because of where the Pels were and how many games they had. I really honestly didn't watch nearly as much. But then again, Scottie Scheffler was the favorite going in. Scottie Scheffler is your Masters champion for a second time. So there you go. There's your Masters update. I don't know. I kind of felt like I didn't watch it, honestly, so I don't know. And LeGraf was watching a little bit in the studio yesterday on the TVs, but I kind of felt like, I don't know if it's the storylines or if it was just the way the rounds went. I didn't feel like there was the drama or the suspense nearly as much as in years past, maybe with the different names or different golfers that you had there as well. Obviously, they're transitioning to different types. What I mean by that is like, you know, you have Mickelson and Rory and Spieth and all that. So maybe it's a whole different kind of gen that is going there as well. So anyway, could be completely wrong. It's probably because I'm so focused on what's going on with the Pels here as well that I've been just kind of looking at it from that perspective. So let's go back to some of the things that head coach Willie Green had to say yesterday, and specifically the challenge about the points in the paint. I don't think I've ever seen 50 points in the paint out of a team's 70 points in the first half. First off, 70 first half points stinks, but it is kind of almost the norm, it feels like, sometimes in the NBA. But for 50 of those 70 to be in the paint, that was different. And that's what I said when I opened up the show. I feel like in years past, or games past, this season, last season, the Lakers spank the Pelicans because Hachimura shooting a three. Austin Reeves, another three. Bum number one. Bum number two, who has 3 3-pointers all season long, is hit his fourth three-pointer in the second quarter. Like, I feel the Pels got bombarded by shooting. Yesterday felt like it was the first time where it was just a blatant, here we come, down the lane, stop us. It was absolutely the game plan. No doubt about it.
I mean, they're really good with pick and rolls, pocket pass, Davis getting behind the defense or catching it, and they got cutting. So it's something that we'll look at on film and get back to work tomorrow. We got this team again. So tough loss for us. We know what the deal was. They came out. They were the aggressors. And when you're an aggressive team, things go your way. And they had us on our heels all game.
Yeah. C.J. McCollum on L.A. success in the paint.
I think it was a combination. Turnovers. They got in transition. Some lobs. Some dunks. Some slips. Some backdoor cuts. A little combination of everything.
All right. So one of the other things that Zion was asked about, too, is with that loss in the paint, what was it really just like that? I mean, did the game just literally come down to that?
They got whatever they wanted in the paint. They dominated us in the paint tonight.
Yeah, and that, you know, as you just said, the points in the paint battle really lopsided at halftime. I mean, what do you feel like some of the adjustments y'all going to make going into Tuesday to kind of fix that?
Got to go back and watch film so we can really break down the details and we'll regroup as a team.
I believe it was Trevor who called in early on the show and said, foul somebody, Cobra Kayum. Do something. Just get angry. C.J. McCollum on what possible defensive adjustments you can do.
I can't remember. I think we only went on three possessions the whole game. So just communicating better and being more solid and making sure that, you know, guys that we want to shoot are shooting.
One of the things that was kind of interesting when you look at the box score, the Pels shot more threes. They shot almost 40 attempts. That's what they want to do. But again, it was almost like, as John DeShazer kept saying it on the broadcast, you had to trade threes for twos because you couldn't stop them. And you saw that early on. So you had to kind of shoot those threes there to just to try to get back going into it. It just stood out immediately. Game started. Boom, LeBron's on Zion. AD's on Zion. Somebody's face guarding C.J. McCollum the entire time, making it very difficult when it came to that. Willie Green was asked about the offensive challenges and what they were able to maybe do to change how they defended Zion.
They were physical on them. They were physical. They packed the paint. And when they're doing that, we have to trust each other. You got to trust getting off the ball. Next guy's driving, kicking, and now the dominoes fall. But that initial drive, with a good defensive team, they're in there. They're packing the paint. Davis is there shadowing him. We didn't do a good job of adjusting to that.
You saw a little bit of momentum in that third quarter, started playing a little bit better. I don't know if they got their legs back under him or not. I'll do it just for the heck of it. It was nice to see Jonas come back in and play, force the Lakers timeout afterwards. But look, whatever it is that needs to happen, was there any momentum, though, in that third quarter?
We'll look at that part of it and try to bottle that up and carry it over to the next game. But, you know, it's a tough one. Tough loss. We let an opportunity slip away. We know it, but you know, we put ourselves in a position to get a home game, and now we got to take advantage of it.
Zion on the third quarter success.
You know, I hate to keep reiterating myself, but I think that's something that when I watch the film and I'm able to break it down more and watch it a few times, I'll definitely have a better answer, and so will the coaches, and we'll be able to talk about it.
Jose?
You know, it's about adjusting, and you got to forget about this one and learn from it and just keep pushing and, like you said, playing to the...
And as a key or two going into Tuesday?
Well, number one, we have to come back with the right mentality, and they were the aggressors. We have to be the aggressive team. We have to be the more physical team. We got to keep them out of our paint and make them take contested shots and rebound the ball and all things that we didn't do for a sustainable amount of time. And then we got to take care of the ball, 19 turnovers. We have been doing a great job offensively of taking care of the ball. We come back tonight, or today rather, and, you know, they scored 27 points off our turnovers. That's another factor.
Brandon Ingram coming back. First off, that's what he had to say on how he felt his knee adjusted.
Tonight was supposed to happen. It's all in. I take it and respond. Knee felt pretty good tonight. Felt pretty strong, so I'm ready to move on and continue to play.
Head coach Willie Green on what it was like to get B.I. back.
Yeah, he'll be fine. It was good to get him back. We'll get back to practice tomorrow and get a little work in, but we need to get a team rhythm with our substitutions and getting the right guys on the floor at the right times.
So that's the second time He was talking about that, about getting the right substitutions right. And it's something Cajun Go brought up in a couple of callers already here on the show. And that is an interesting thing that you would think by 82 games you would kind of have that. But at the same time, that's, I don't know. One of the callers said maybe he has too many toys, the challenges and things of that nature. Look, Trey Murphy didn't have a terrible game. Just felt like the usage was different, right? The impact that he had in that game was a little bit different. Well, Brandon Ingram was healthy. He's the starter. 13 points in. I saw somebody suggest on social media, would it have been better to start Trey in Brandon's first game back and have Brandon come off the bench and kind of get that rhythm going and get a couple of minutes under his belt and keep Trey, who was in rhythm, in the starting lineup with that starting unit? I don't know. Quick break. We come back. An ESPN SportsCenter update. And also, Leo Haggerty will join us as we'll go through the rest of the NBA matchups still to come. It's a Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.
A lot of AAU tournaments. You know, she's been at Albany.
I got Albany's back.
You clearly have spent time there. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. In moments, we go to the NFL draft. We will get into it with our guy, Field Yates. Alert the Yaters on ESPN Radio.
Aaron's Icon Zero Turn Mower. Right now, you can save $250 on qualifying Icons at your local Aaron's dealer during the Mow Less, Save More event. The Icon delivers a perfectly cut lawn and does it quickly and comfortably. And because it's an Aaron's, you know it's built to last. This spring, save $250 on an Aaron's Icon and step into a legacy brand.
Visit Neil's Small Engines with locations in Houma, Thibodaux, and Cutoff.
How can you help Lafourche Parish Fire District No. 3? A yes vote on April 27th will allow Lafourche Parish Fire District 3 to maintain and continue providing quality emergency response to you and your family when you need it most. A yes vote will help in replacing aging equipment and maintain facilities and emergency response vehicles. A yes vote will allow Fire District 3 to continue providing your firefighters and dispatchers with the training they need to stay current with the ever-changing challenges we face daily. Lafourche Parish Fire District 3 firefighters are asking, please vote yes on April 27th. Paid for by Bless Your Heart Nonprofit Corporation.
I'm Gavin Dugas, LSU baseball champion and someone who is passionate about a crucial cause, drowning prevention. Drowning is a silent epidemic that claims far too many lives each year, especially among children. It's heartbreaking to think that many of these tragedies are preventable with the right awareness and precautions. Since joining the cause, pioneered by Raleigh John's Blue Boot Foundation, I've gained knowledge on the devastating impact of drowning and how drowning is preventable. This is why I'm committed to raising awareness.
Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy staff are trained in finding the lowest cost available on your medication. Stop by with your prescriptions, our medicine bottles, and let one of us review your options with you. With two convenient locations to serve you, we're located in Rouse's Supermarket, Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. Our staff available Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturdays 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Esther Hand Plantation, in partnership with the LSU Ag Center and Louisiana Master Gardeners, will hold its second annual Spring Garden and Pet Show at Esther Hand Plantation this weekend from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Your pet is invited, but must be on a leash, carrying case, or in a stroller at all times. Enjoy plant vendors, arts and craft vendors, educational presentations, children's activities, live music, and a food pavilion. The second annual Spring Garden and Pet Show, Esther Hand Plantation, 13034 River Road in Esther Hand.
Now with 0% APR for 72 months on select compact tractors, riding lawnmowers, and Gator utility vehicles, plus up to $2,000 off select compact tractors. It's never been easier to get in the sea. Offer available April 1st through 30th. Visit johndeere.com to find your local dealer. For complete finance details, please call toll-free 1-800-226-8903.
Oh, I can't.
can't believe tax season is here already. But look at all this info I have to enter.
Phil's small accounting firm is growing in numbers.
Why didn't I take that typing class in high school?
A data entry specialist could really help him in a crunch.
I got blisters on my fingers.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. In partnership with Lowbridge Lake Charles. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hi, I'm Kamiko, the founder of Miko's Hot Chicken. When we started our family restaurant, we were also raising a family. But let me tell you, it wasn't easy. Our Chase Inc. car was there to reward us on all of our business needs. Now we have a thriving location, and we're hungry for more.
With the Chase Inc. Business Unlimited card, you can earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase, so your business can go from here to possible. Chase for business. Make more with yours. Real business owners compensated for their participation. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, and member FDIC, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Christine Lisi. The Eagles and star receiver Devontae Smith agreed to a three-year extension, tying him to the organization through the 2028 season. Deal's $75 million, including $51 million guaranteed, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Philly also exercised his fifth-year option for 2025. At the first day of the offseason workout program, Giants quarterback Daniel Jones said he's progressing in his rehab from a torn ACL and expects to be cleared for training camp. NBA from ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, Suns guard Grayson Allen agreed to a four-year $70 million extension. Plenty of star power tonight for the most anticipated WNBA draft in years. Caitlin Clark, expected widely to be the drafted first overall by the Indiana Fever. Coverage 7:30 Eastern ESPN. Cissé Lema, the men's winner at the Boston Marathon. Helen O'Beery, the women's winner for a second straight year.
Can we talk
sports? Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003 on the Rooter Man Cam caller and guest line, waiting for Leo Haggerty. As we go through the rest of the NBA schedule, or the teams that are going to be playing here, as the playoff picture is now locked and loaded. Oh, boy. How you feeling? How you feel about tomorrow night's Lakers-Pels game? 6:30 p.m. is when that game will take on. Leo Haggerty, Anthem Sports, as always. Leo, look, you and I have been texting throughout the NBA season. Obviously, talk football and stuff like that, and you help cover the NFC South based out of Tampa there with the Buccaneers. And hard to believe the draft's next week, right? I think it's the next week, right? Not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. So it's right around the corner. That said, you love yourself some basketball here as well. When you look at the regular season in its totality, what stood out to you between the Eastern and Western Conference?
How Boston just separated itself from everybody in the East, and how it's a crapshoot in the West. I'd say one through 10. Everybody talks about, they'll play in games, you're not going to get there. I'll tell you what, you look at those four teams that are in there, you got New Orleans, you got the Lakers, you got Sacramento, you got Golden State. I don't think Oklahoma City or Denver wants to play any of those. I almost think Minnesota tanked to get the three seed, so they know who they're playing. But that's just my opinion on that. But, yeah, it's a crapshoot in the West.
Yeah, I tell you what, when you look at it through all and the way the brackets are organized, in the West you got Kings, Warriors. The winner will play, of course, on Friday against the loser of the Lakers and Pels. Then it's all set up. The Thunder will play the 8th seed, so it'll be whoever wins Friday. The Nuggets will play whoever wins tomorrow. T-Wolves and Suns, Clippers and Mavericks. Now, the way the brackets are set up, T-Wolves, Suns, Nuggets, Lakers, or Pels, that's one side of the bracket. So the winner of Nuggets, Pels, Lakers will take on the winner of T-Wolves, Suns. The winner of the Thunder 8 seed will take on the winner of the Clippers and Mavericks. That's going to be an interesting matchup there because the Clippers and Mavs, man, those two teams have met before. And Leo, they have played 7 games. It's incredible the amount of scoring that could possibly happen there as well.
Yeah, the biggest thing with the Clippers is let's see who's healthy. Again, if they can line up with Harden and George and Kawhi Leonard and Westbrook, that's 4 guys you got to contend with. The question is, can they stay healthy for the series? And you know what? Look who they're going against, Dallas. Luka Doncic, this game could be the loser getting 130 to 140 points. That's how crazy that is.
When you look at the other series, Timberwolves and Suns, who do you like in this one?
I like the Timberwolves because I think they finally figured it out, what they got. And Edwards is playing at an MVP level up there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not just Towns and it's not just Rudy Gobert. It's, you know, you got a legitimate perimeter player in Edwards. So, yeah, I like the Timberwolves. I just think that Phoenix is a two-man game, you know, and if you stop Durant and that's the big thing, you know. But a lot of options up in Minnesota, and I think the way they went out last year has kind of left a sad, you know, bad taste in their mouth. I think they're going to do better.
How far do you think the Thunder can go?
Not past the first round.
Really?
You think
they lose to the Clippers or Mavs, huh?
Just because they haven't been there. That's the thing. They may lose to the 8. That's the funny part. You know, you're talking about a team who has no frame of reference to being in the playoffs. I don't think they have anybody that's been past the first round in the playoffs. So, you know, it's a whole new atmosphere. The officiating is different. The pressure is different. The level of play goes up. And I had NBA players tell me that when you get to the playoffs, all of a sudden teams start to play defense. And, you know, that's 82 games is tough to do. But you know what? In a 7-game series, they're getting after it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens now with the, you know, OKC, when they're going to play the same team at least 4 times, maybe 7.
I'm interested to see where this all goes. I will say this. I do think the first round, are we seeing any games? I don't see any sweeps, huh? Like Thunder AC, Clippers, Mavs, T-Wolves, Suns, Nuggets, Lakers, or Pels. I don't see anyone getting swept. Do you?
No, not at all. And again, where is Boston playing in the East? That may happen. But you know what? No. I think the West, 3 of those and maybe all 4 will go to the last game. That's how evenly matched that whole division. If you look at it, you know, going into Sunday, Gus, you and I talked about this. There are 3 teams fighting for number 1.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing how this played out. There are pretty much 10 teams that if they got their A game, you can throw a blanket over all of them. It's just not, you know, if you had to make the house payment, Gus, who do you put it on? I'm not putting it on anybody.
I honestly don't know. To be honest, I will say this: Boston. If I had to put money on something, Boston. Boston looks real good when they want to play. I don't see. I mean, I don't see the 8 seed beating them. I think the Cavs and Magic will be a fun series. Pacers and Bucks, watch out. I'm not putting the Bucks past that first round. And I'm curious about the Knicks right now. They legit have shown they can beat Boston. So. I mean, they're pretty good. I mean, but, man, do you want to play Jimmy Butler, who just seems to enjoy that? I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. It's my favorite week. I wish the Pels weren't in the play-in, but starting tomorrow, there's going to be basketball every single night other than Thursday, of course, and then, boom, the first round starts going, and we're going to have fun with that. Before I let you go, though, Leo, I do want to ask you a football thing, because, as I said, it's not this Thursday. Next Thursday will be the NFL draft, which is incredible that it's right around the corner. Adam Schefter had this to say a little bit ago about the number two pick, Washington Commanders.
Good luck to your Commanders in the draft as well.
I think you go
get those Jaden Daniels jerseys. I think you go get that.
little hint there. Say, I think it's okay to go do that. Now, look, he went. He had a meeting with them, I think, today. Schefter just said that. I do think it's going to be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. Now, at three, over the weekend, Patriots GM kind of was like, you know, we're open for business. If you want that third pick overall, if you want that third quarterback, they're not a quarterback away. They might be willing to drop a couple of spots, get some additional picks. What do you think? Do you think the New England Patriots will have the third selection, or will it be another team?
Gus, let me expand on that question. Look for any team at the top of the draft, up 1 through 10, to trade down, especially if they don't need a quarterback, like the Chargers, the Titans, the Falcons, and the Jets. They're going to be open for business. I think if New England is sitting there and going, we're okay with any of those guys being coming in, a Penix, a Bo Nix, a McCarthy, or if one of those guys drops, I think they trade out and try to get down to 7 or 8, get a couple more picks, and then they still got a quarterback. Because I don't know if you check this out, Gus, but Penix is skyrocketing up the board. They're talking the Raiders now. For somebody who said he wasn't in second round, and Gus, I've been preaching to your listeners the whole time.
You have.
This kid is the best quarterback in the draft. He throws the best ball I've seen in 10 years. You can compare him to Joe Burrow. That's how good he is.
Wow. That's strong there, Leo. But, look, you've been saying it from the get-go, so I'll be it for me to say that you're wrong. Let's see what happens. But to your point, we'll get a little bit more familiar as we get closer and closer. But it's Bears, Commanders, Patriots, Cardinals, who have a quarterback at 4, as you mentioned. Chargers have a quarterback at 5. Why does my gut feel like this whole, the Giants love J.J. McCarthy, the Giants are going with the quarterback thing? I look at it like this. You already have a quarterback. And I look, because again, other than Caleb Williams, are any of those guys that much more substantially better than what you're going to have with Daniel Jones this coming season? You can move down a spot or two, get some additional moves from there or not. And then I just go back to the whole last year with Daboll getting in arguments on the sideline. That just feels like I might move off of that coaching staff this year. Do I want to risk draft picks next year if I'm not completely bought in on Daboll? Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Because when you change general managers or coaching staff, that's not your quarterback. That's not the guy you drafted. A perfect example is the Bears. The group that's there now, that's not the Mitch Trubisky group. That's not the Jalen Fields group. And again,
right,
they're looking to go in another direction. And I'll tell you what, Gus, the biggest problem we're going to see is like when you get down to 15 through 26, 27, everything's going to fall if the run on the quarterback and the wide receivers happens like we think. There may be 10 quarterbacks and wide receivers taken in the first 15 picks. If that happens, all of a sudden you're sitting there looking at your board going, wait. This team, guy I had at 4, he's still on the board. I think you're going to see a plethora of trades when they hit 11.
Just Vikings at 11, Broncos at 12, Raiders at 13. Some Saints fans will tell you throw in the Saints there as well as teams that should go get a quarterback. But I'm with you. I think Vikings, Broncos, Raiders, I would be shocked if next Thursday they pick at 11, 12, or 13. One of those. Like, look, if I'm Denver, because you don't have a lot of that draft movement because you sort of did it, I do think a quarterback sits there. And to your point, what if Penix is there? I mean, he's going to be there. He's going to be there at 12. And, I mean, do you pull the trigger for Sean Payton?
You run to the table with that pick as fast as you can. Because again, it's only because of where you are. A lot of these guys, all of a sudden, when they started seeing what he was doing at the pro days, they went to their scouts and said, hey, let's get some film back on this guy. And you know what? You had the guys on last week that started watching film and saying, hey, yeah, this guy's pretty damn good. And that's what you're seeing. And I'll tell you what, Gus, if some of these guys drop, like a Bo Nix, a McCarthy, or a Penix, and they're around 10, 11, and 12, it's going to go bingo, bango, bongo with those three teams. They're not going to trade out. They're going to take them because they're getting a guy they think may be 4 or 5 on their draft board.
Yeah, I like that. Sounds like a song. Leo Haggerty, can you believe it, sir? When we talk again on Friday, we'll be even closer on that. Plus, we will know at least everything but the 8 seed. So we'll kind of touch on that again, and I'm sure there'll be a handful more of NFL storylines as we get closer and closer. At least it's nice and quiet around here, because let me tell you something, Leo. It's real easy here next Thursday. If this team doesn't draft a tackle, I mean, it's real easy. The next best available tackle will be the, it might sound boring, but I don't think there needs to be any suspense, at least in New Orleans, when it comes to what they're going to be drafting here as well, man.
God, I hope so. Hey, Gus, and one more thing, you asked the question about who's the Houston in 2024. I think the Jets in the AFC, and this will hurt you to hear it, and it hurts me to say it, the Atlanta Falcons.
That's all the time we have for Leo Haggerty. Sorry, bud. Gotta go. That's it. See you on Friday. There you go.
Thank you, buddy.
Quick break. We come back. Jeff Box from our sister station, KNAE, is next on ESPN New Orleans.
New here.
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Oh, boy. Segments are on. They're flowing. All right, ESPN currently on my TV. Jeff Fox from our sister station, KANE, and they're going through all of the different already known matchups in the NBA. Who's going to win here? Who's going to win there? Obviously, the 7th seed, the 8th seed, still to be determined. Jeff, how are you today, sir?
Excellent. Thank you very much. For a Monday, it's looking good. Looking good.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be better if the Pels would have won yesterday. Although that means we have a game to talk about tomorrow. But look, have you taken a peek? Have you looked at some of the futures and some of the things that you can bet on there as well? And anything interesting when it comes to the East and Western Conference playoff picture?
Absolutely. You know, one thing that stands out, the two conference favorites, I mean, it's seriously leaning toward Boston to win it all. Plus 150. Denver, though, at plus 300. And what's interesting, you know, obviously the two teams, Oklahoma City and Denver, have identical records. Oklahoma City having a tiebreaker. They're technically the number one seed, but no one's respecting them. Oklahoma City plus 1,400 back, as are the LA Clippers. Milwaukee plus 1,400 as well in the East, not getting a a lot of love there. Boston, favored to win the East, obviously, if they're favored to win at all. Minus 195 compared to the Bucks, plus 600. So quite the disparity. And again, to win the West, Denver plus 130, Oklahoma City plus 550. So not maybe as much disparity there. But still, even though number two seed, the defending champs, still the Western Conference favorites.
Yeah, I will say this. It is going to be interesting to see how far some of these teams go. I mean, you have a lot of teams up at the top that, or in and around, that haven't been there before. You have some history with the Clippers and Mavs, especially with Luka and Harden. They seem to put up a ton of points every time they do that. I'm with you. I think the Thunder are going to be an interesting team for me here, because I'll say this. In terms of having been there before, I get you, not having that experience. Then again, it really didn't affect them at all down the stretch. And I want to say the last time they played the Pels, I heard on our broadcast basically say that I think they've played one of the most, if not the most, clutch games this season, or in those clutch games this season. So I don't know, man. I think you earned the top seed for a reason, and especially if you're the one seed in the West. For the last 2-3 weeks, they've been battling teams that have either been tied with them, a game above them, or a game below them, and then they wound up earning it. I wouldn't be surprised if OKC at least makes it to the Western Conference Finals, huh?
No, no doubt. You know, I think I saw a stat where they are the youngest number one seed. So not a lot of experience, but a lot of hunger. And maybe that's something Denver doesn't have as much, raising a banner last year.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be very interesting to see as once the games start playing and everything plays out. I don't see sweeps. Is there a future or anything that says sweeps or things of that nature? Do you see sweeps?
I have not necessarily seen sweeps, but I have seen some series picks. Dallas right now 4-0 is plus 750. So yeah, there's some sweeps. Dallas 4-0 plus 750 in their series. Cleveland, they were to sweep their series, plus 700 there. So yeah, there are a couple. Check out ESPN Bet. A lot of different props available to you.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Baseball. You want to talk a little baseball?
Absolutely. I'll lean into that a little bit now that the basketball season is winding down. One of the great spring sports, of course. Atlanta, I thought I'd look at the Atlanta-Houston game. A lot of fans of either the Astros or Atlanta. Right now, both teams dealing with some pitching injuries. And again, it's been an absurd number, and a lot of folks still not liking the pitch clock being even shorter than it was that last year. But again, we're seeing that in today's matchup as Darius Vines gets his first start of the year for Atlanta. Spencer Arrighetti on the bump for Hughes. Would his nickname be Spaghetti? Spencer Arrighetti? Got to be, right?
If you want to go with it, let's I love it.
I'm running with Spaghetti here. He has surrendered 7 runs in 3 innings last time out. Neither pitcher has the big league chops to give betters any confidence against these two potent lineups. So one of the things a lot of folks are looking at is the over. 10.5 right now. The over looks pretty good in this game with the pitching inexperience. But straight up, Astros are underdogs. 1.5, disappointing start to the season there. But again, the over-under, 10.5, a lot of folks like that over. And the money line, minus 105 for Houston, minus 115 for the Braves in this game today.
All right. How can I get involved with ESPN Bet, sir?
As always, again, ESPN Bet, ready to take you all the huge sports moments this spring. Yeah, the big golf tournament yesterday, but a whole lot more to come on the links this year. Baseball, the playoffs, NHL and NBA playoffs getting underway. Well, NHL a little later than the NBA, but still. Sign up today. You get $100 in bonus bets for new users making any sports book bet. Again, download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Terms, conditions, they apply. Check out the app for all the details. You got to be 21 or older. And if you do have a gambling problem, we look to try and take care of that. Call 1-800-522-4700. And as always, ESPN Bet in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. Check it out.
As always, appreciate the time, sir. We'll talk again tomorrow, 1:45.
You bet. We'll look forward to it.
All right. That is Jeff Box from our sister station, KANE. Tonight's the WNBA draft. And it's interesting because obviously Angel Reese from LSU is going to be a part of that here as well. She had this to say about leaving LSU and going to the draft.
What are you the most excited about for this next chapter?
Just a breath of fresh air. I know I've worked so hard to get to where I am right now, and everything that I've been through throughout my whole college career, from injuries and adversity, traveling and having to transfer. Coming into the WNBA, I wanted to be able to be me and be the player that I was basically coming out of high school. I was the number one wing out of high school, so as you know, I have ball handling skills and a great passing ability, so being able to showcase that more, I know what I can do and be confident within myself, so I'm just excited.
All right, so let's see what happens tonight. She's projected to go number 7 to Chicago. Caitlin Clark is projected to go number 1 overall to the Indiana Fever. Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.
ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. The exclusive sports book of ESPN has it all, including exclusive offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith. There is no better time to be a sports fan. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles.
It's here, the 2024 NOLA Gold Rugby season. New head coach Corey Brown has the boys focused on earning a spot in the playoffs, and we want you at the Gold Mine. Every home game is an event with families in mind, and after the whistle, head to the party shack, mingle with players, and collect autographs. Don't miss Major League Rugby and entertainment at an affordable price. Get your tickets now and be a part of NOLA Gold Rugby. Secure yours at NOLAGoldRugby.com.
Absolute Fitness wants to welcome our community to come back and check us out. You'll discover an amazing environment and a friendly and welcoming staff at Absolute Fitness. We have a 12,000 square foot facility with all new top-of-the-line equipment, new saunas, an amazing smoothie bar, personal trainers, and much, much more. Absolute Fitness offers many types of very competitive memberships along with a dual membership with our proud partner, CrossFit Brackish. Absolute Fitness at 17092 West Main Street, Galliano.
One of our top local supporters is GIS. GIS is a strategic energy partner with main headquarters located in Galliano, Louisiana. With over 20 different locations and over 20 service offerings, GIS has expanded itself to provide their capabilities across the nation as well as globally. There are many opportunities available to join the GIS team. You can visit their website at www.gisy.com to learn more about starting your career with GIS today.
Since 1950. I'm Christine Lisi. Countdown continues to the most anticipated WNBA draft in years. All eyes on Caitlin Clark, widely projected to be taken first overall by the Indiana Fever. Angel Reese, Cameron Brink, Camila Cardoso, among the other stars who will share the draft stage with her tonight. Part of one of the most important off-seasons ever for the WNBA, points out ESPN's Chinee Agwumike.
Mind you, the WNBA is only 28 years old.
Yeah.
So if you look at where the NBA was in 28 years, they were looking for leaps, and then they got Larry Bird.